afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Well, you know what time it is. I'm pretty sure you do. Second hour on Thursdays, we do something called Talk to Me Thursday. And so far, so good. It's been an amazing time where I pitch a question and you talk, because we usually don't have guests on Talk to Me Thursday. So questions in the past have been, what does your self-talk sound like? What are you afraid of? What do you dream about? If you could have one prayer answered. We've had some amazing conversations. Well, I've asked our first hour guest, Lee Wolf Bloom, to stick around and kind of co-host with me as we navigate questions, because this one's going to take some bravery to answer, and it's about bravery. It's, I want to know just times in your life where you felt like that took some courage for me. I don't know what it is, and you can call anonymously, but the phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. In just a bit, Lee and I will kind of bounce back and forth about just times in our lives where we had to dig deep and find some courage to do something. And this isn't about bragging on yourself. It's just saying, you know, this is something, this took something out of me, but I'm so glad I did it. But in the meantime, I've got a friend, Jeff Nini from Convoy of Hope, who connected with me this morning. And I thought, man, the timing is perfect, because we're talking courage, we're talking bravery. Convoy of Hope is in Texas, and talk about courage. Wow, what they're doing there to help the people who've been devastated by Hurricane Harvey is just nothing short of amazing. So I want to give Jeff a proper introduction. We'll hear from him just for this first segment. Jeff Nini is a seasoned communicator with more than 30 years experience speaking for churches, conventions, and business gatherings. He currently serves as national spokesperson for Convoy of Hope. He lives in Springfield, Missouri with his wife, Lisa, and they have 4 children and 5 grandchildren. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's so good to be on with you again.
Well, appreciate you so very much. So I would just love for you to do us a great favor and tell us what's happening with Convoy of Hope in Texas. What are you seeing there?
Oh, I'll tell you what. This reminds me a lot of Hurricane Katrina. You know, same wow. general part of the country along the Gulf, same large area of destruction. I mean, you know, you talk about, we're working from Corpus Christi all the way up to Houston and beyond. And just the vast amount of land and the vast number of people that live there, that some of them have lost everything. Was talking with a guy this morning that lost his home. He has no insurance and doesn't know what he's going to do. He's got no hope. And I think that's where what we want to do is we want to come in and we want to meet their physical needs with the food and the water and ice and coolers and hygiene kits and things like that. But we also want to offer them hope, and that hope in Christ.
I appreciate you doing that so very much. What kind of help are you getting, and what do you need?
We've been able to, I mean, corporations and people and businesses have really, I mean, jumped on this and are really responding in a big way. We have already distributed over $1.2 million worth of food, water, hygiene kits, cleaning supplies, and we're not even close to being done. I mean, we've got 50 tractor trailer loads in the queue, which means they're either, they've been distributed, they're here, or they're on their way. Our guys back in Springfield are talking about 100 tractor trailer loads, and personally, I think it'll go beyond that.
For people who want to donate to what you're doing there, because you're not only meeting physical needs, you're there meeting spiritual needs as well. Where do you send them?
Probably the best bet is to go. There's 3 ways. They can go to our website, convoyofhope.org. They can see the pictures, they can follow the stories, and really know firsthand what we're doing, and they can make a secure online donation there. They can also go to our Facebook page and see some of those same stories. But then the third way is they can text to give. If you text the word CONVOY to 50555, that'll put a $10 donation on your cell phone bill, and that money will go directly to helping people here in Texas.
Okay, I've got to say that again. 50555, text the word CONVOY, and automatically you're donating $10, and it just goes on your cell phone bill. Wow.
That's correct.
Well, Jeff, tell me this. What's your sense with your feet on the ground there? I mean, what's the sense you're getting from the people that you're helping?
I think the sense is disbelief, obviously concern. Some people, a lot of people, overwhelmed. Just, you know, they don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. And I think that's one of the good things about the way that we operate down here. I'll give you an example. We're set up in a church parking lot, And so everybody in the community that wants to come here for help, today we had 1,200 cars. Yesterday we had 1,300 cars that drive through. In addition, we're sending product and supplies out. But those people that come here, sometime they're going to forget who Convoy of Hope is. But they're always going to remember, there's that church I went to for help. And it sets the local church up to be the hero in their community. And really, that's what we strive to do.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, so appreciate you reaching out and appreciate what you're all doing there. How can we be praying for you at Convoy of Hope as you take on this unbelievable task?
I think there's several things. First and foremost, though, pray for the victims, the survivors, the people that have lived through this horrific storm. I mean, so many thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of people that have been negatively affected. They need our prayers. When it comes to praying for Convoy, I think we can pray a couple different ways. We can pray, we need wisdom. You know, what's the most effective and efficient way to respond? Our team is making decisions every day. Do we go here? Do we go there? Do we partner with this person or that church? And we need God's direction in those decisions. And then we want to pray for safety. You know, we've got tractor trailers moving around and forklifts moving around and volunteers that aren't used to that, that are also moving in those same spaces.
And flooded
roads.
We
just want to pray that, yeah, flooded roads, things like that. So we just want to pray God's safety on our team.
Well, I'm going to do that right now. Well, Father, I thank you for Jeff, and I thank you for Convoy of Hope, and I pray you pour out your spirit in a fresh new way. I pray that you'd multiply the loaves and the fishes. Truly, I pray they would see modern-day miracles of multiplication for the needs before them. And we pray for every single victim of Hurricane Harvey, every person who's been displaced and who's been derailed by this unbelievable tragedy. We just pray that you'd rise up the community of faith to tend to these needs. And we pray we would hear stories of miracles and miracle provision every which way. Protect them from the wicked person who would leverage us to their detriment. Glory, we just ask you to send angels there to fight, to guard, and we pray this would turn around quickly in an accelerated fashion, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Well, Jeff, you're a friend to Faith Radio, and we so appreciate what you're doing. Please keep us posted on how things are going, okay?
We will, Susie. Thanks so much for taking the time today. It's always a joy to talk to you.
I always love talking with you as well. Until next time, sir. All right, we are going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to take your calls and ask you, and I'm asking you to be brave to talk about your bravery, but you can do this. Frank is calling. Julie's called. How about you? Think back to a time when you dug deep, and you were even kind of proud of yourself. Maybe you weren't proud of yourself, but you just said, this took some courage for me. I can think of a few stories, Lee. When we come back, we'll talk about it. But I'm sort of proud of myself. I'm like, I was scared, and I did that, and I'm so glad I did. That's what we're going to do, is talk about what courage looks like. Got a big stack of books to give away. If you get on the air, you'll get a book, 877-933-2484. And we will be back in a minute. Had to let that song play out. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So today, right now, it's Talk to Me Thursday, where you are our special guest. And there's always a theme on Talk to Me Thursday. The theme today is courage and bravery. What does that look like? And I'm asking you, I'm not exactly saying I want you to brag on yourself so much, but there have been times in your life that you've had to be courageous. I just want to hear about those. Lee Wolf Bloom was my first hour guest. I asked her to hang around and kind of co-host with me as we take your calls and just talk about courage, because the Bible says be strong and courageous. And who knows, maybe your act of bravery and courage will inspire somebody else to be courageous. And everybody who gets on the air will get a book. I'm pretty sure. I got a big stack here. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. We're looking at Frank here from South St. Paul. Hey, Frank, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I got on the air. I've got a couple of friends who winter in Rockport, and they're up here now trying to figure out ways that they can come back to Rockport and bring along any supplies that the bigger organizations might not normally provide. But anyway, probably the most recent story of bravery that I have is after my wife passed away from pancreatic cancer in April of 2002, the Lord told me to quit my job as a school bus driver. I've been driving school bus for about 10 years, and I obeyed in September of 2003. And I walked into the garage of the place that I was renting at the time and looked up at the rafters and said, "Lord, have I just made another dumb mistake?" And, you know, he spoke to me, but it wasn't a voice in my head. It literally boomed from the center of my being. "Be still and know that I am God." And I thought, "Wow, you must have something really big in store for me." I started looking for jobs. And, well, either the Lord would say no or the employer would say no. And then he brought me through a series of well, difficult times. I won't go into all the details, but I moved into a place that was not very desirable, and you know, I faced all kinds of economic hassles. One of which included a time when I was a month and a half behind on the rent.
So you got to get to your courageous part, Frank, because I got other calls coming. So I want to hear, what did God call you to do? Other than, I know that's a big thing, that you stepped out from your job. So then what happened?
Well, eventually he brought me to working at Lovelines. As he comforted me through all the pain of my wife passing away,
wow,
I could comfort others.
Fantastic.
And all the pains and difficulties that I faced in that transition gave me compassion for the people who also were going through pains and difficulties and financial issues and stuff like that.
Wow, Frank, thank you for that. And that's exactly it. I mean, we are comforted so that we ourselves can comfort others. I want to send Frank Than Bennett's book, In Search of the King, Turning Your Desire for Meaning into the Discovery of God. I think that'll bless you, Frank. Thank you for that act of bravery. 877-933-2484. Julie's checking in from Duluth. Hey, Julie.
Yes, hello.
Hey.
So, hi there. I feel like it was about 10 years ago, we were attending a small church in southern Minnesota, and one of the curriculum programs that were available was a child-rearing class. And I started to, you know, do a little more research in the class, and it just wasn't faith-based. And so it was, you know, I felt like I needed to speak up, and it had to do with growing kids God's way, which was an ESO program. And after speaking with, you know, the base and the foundation of the program, I needed to gather up some of the other young moms and pretty much bring it to the board and, you know, show the holes in the program. And the program was no longer allowed in the church, so it was really tough, but I felt really good. And, you know, just pay for some of the young moms that were believing some of it.
Yeah, that's great. Man, really great. That's Lee talking there. It's a really great courage because that, you know, sometimes Lee, bravery is doing the hard thing. That's right. Kind of an Esther-like thing that Julie did here. So
we're starting something new and being the courageous person who's going to go and start something new.
Exactly. Julie, thank you for that. And I'm going to look at, can we put her back on, Aaron, just for a quick second? I'm looking at the book here. I'm trying to think which book I want to give you. Well, I'll grab the one at the top of the pile here, and it's Lori Polich Short, and it's titled When Changing Nothing Changes Everything, The Power of Reframing Your Life. How does that sound?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And thanks for stepping up. Love that. 877-933-2484. When changing nothing changes everything. Writing that down. Okay, Lee, this is your chance. You've had 10 minutes, even though you've been talking about your brave for an hour. So, but I mean, when I put the question, did something come to mind, a memory come to mind for you when you've had to dig deep and be courageous?
Well, I think, like I said before, going to therapy again was probably one of the hardest things, but what really came to mind, and I was prayerful about it, is this story. And it makes me realize that oftentimes we have to be brave when we're not ready.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So you get stuck in a position and your tendency is to run away, or your tendency is to do something and God's like, no, no, no. So I got called to speak at my church, and a very big name women's speaker was, I wrote about this in the book, but a very big women's speaker was speaking alongside with me. And I thought I had arrived. I thought, here I am at my home church. I'm speaking. This is great. It's going to be awesome.
And sharing the stage with the big
name. Sharing the stage with the big name. It was so great. And I get off the stage. I put my lipstick on because, you know, I got to look good for all the people that are going to stand in line and sign my books. And
okay, first, she's this. You're so sweet. But this, she tells the story so well in the book. But here you're waiting to get on stage. It's your home church.
Yeah.
And the gal that does your intro messes up your name.
Oh, yeah.
But when she introduces the big name, she's hugging the book like
right.
It's pure gold, right?
Yes.
So you're already feeling invisible and a tiny bit dismissed.
Right.
And then they release you to go to your book table and you put your lipstick on, right?
I put my lipstick on.
Right.
Yeah, and it pressed all my buttons.
Sure.
You know,
with
a feeling
anybody's.
Not good enough, a feeling like I don't measure up, and pressed all my buttons. And also the speaker was wearing a bracelet that said brave. And I thought, oh, she's brave. I'm not. I just was comparing. I was just really caught up in my own stuff. So I get off and they say both authors are going to be standing there for book signings. I put on my lipstick. I'm ready to go. And people are lined up and nobody comes to me.
Hmm.
Not a single
person. That's excruciating.
But at that moment, I was like, I've got to trust that God has me here for something. And so I stayed. I helped her with her book signings. Mm. I helped her do her stuff. And I really had to be humble. And I was very humbled to the point where I went home and I was quitting. I was done. I was like, I'm not writing anymore. I'm not speaking anymore. And I feel like for me, the bravery was stepping out and trusting that God had bigger things in mind than my own plan, and that it didn't involve me being famous.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to let that go. And
So
I guess the point of that story is sometimes bravery looks like being in a position where God puts us in and asks us to step out, but we have to kind of have some work done on us
and
first.
Daring not to quit when
and
you feel like it,
daring not to
right?
quit and knowing that, you know what, God had given me a message. And it wasn't my message.
Mm-hmm.
And even if nobody came, I still had to trust that that was what the call was.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes we think if God gives us a purpose that it's all going to work out beautifully, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Very often it doesn't. And I still had to trust. So I would say trusting in God and trusting God's plan, even when everything looks like it's not working, is an act of bravery for sure.
Indeed. And, you know, another thing that I think takes great conviction and courage when you are walking out your call, because anybody walking out their call will have setbacks like
right.
that. Anybody walking out their call will have somebody who's farther down the road kind of steal you thunder and upstage and all that thing, because it brings out the stuff in us that needs to go, right? But I always say, you know, God allows us to be humbled, but he never humiliates us. That's
right.
The enemy. And so it takes conviction and courage to separate. This feels humiliating, but I'm an heir of God. So there's no place in my heart for that. This was very humbling, but you're near to the humble. You're near to the brokenhearted. I am not quitting because I feel humiliated. I'm going to rest in your care because I've just been schooled. It's been humbled. But that takes courage. I just think it really does.
It does.
So,
and then she
and
had
you
that,
kept going.
I kept going, and she had that bracelet on that said brave. And I felt like God was saying to me, like, you're just as brave as she is.
Amen. Amen.
You're just as brave as she
yeah.
is.
Oh, man. Okay, so my courageous moment, and I want to hear your courageous moment. Frank called. I love to hear that. Love to hear his story. And I think it was Julie? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. A time when you had to step up. Like Julie had to step up when she had to speak to a board at church going, this doesn't feel like the best curriculum for our church, so to speak. And she just saw holes in it and theologically, and that took guts, but it changed things. So what about you? What courageous thing did you have to do? So here's one, and it's not as deep as what Julie did. It's probably sounds even shallow, but it was a very big deal to me. So I was a fitness instructor at my church as a young mom, and then got pregnant, had high-risk pregnancy issues, taught in between pregnancies. And my third pregnancy, as most of you know, was on bed rest for 6 months, got up for one day during my pregnancy. Doctor said I could. Unknowingly was bit by the deer tick. Went back to bed. Within 2 weeks, my face went numb, blah, blah, blah. So within a year, learned out I have Lyme disease. And I'm so sick, and it wrecked my brain. And I just thought my life was over. And around that time, a big certification was coming down the pike for fitness instructors. ACE is what it's called, American Council on Exercise. And you had to know neurology, physiology, and people were failing it left and right. And you have to remember that my brain was just wrecked. So, like, I would read stuff in the Bible, note it, and date it. Next day, I would see it and have zero memory of reading it. It was horrifying to be in my 20s to be like that. But something in me, you know, in fact, one of my doctors said, you should go to a Lyme disease support group. And I know there's a place for those, but I had such fear that I'm like, I've got all I can do to deal with my fear. I don't want to hear everybody else's stories. I think I'm going to study for this certification instead, which is so audacious because I was so sick. I mean, I literally was like on IV therapy and I took a shower once a week because it took so much out of me. And we had three little boys. And I just remember ordering the manual, big, thick manual, studying anatomy, physiology, you know. And I would write notes and I'd go back the next night and have zero memory. And I'd go out crying and I'd show my husband the book. I'm like, my brain is gone. I can't do this. And he's like, yes, you can. Go back in the room. And over again, that conversation was on repeat. And finally, the day came to take the test. I had to show my license. It was very official. It was several hours long. People were just sweating. It was very official. It's a very big deal. And I got, I think, a 97 or 98%.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome.
That was an amazing, epic moment for me. And the club that I worked for let me kind of ease my way back into teaching. And I would teach a class and come home, and it would take me days to recover. And Kev let me do that.
That's awesome.
But he's like, I saw the fight that it was putting in you. This is what you needed to do. But it's just about killed me in the process. But it was like, as I was crawling along, I was gaining ground.
Yeah.
And I think there's times you feel like your valley's so pathetic because you're lined up to someone else. They're on the speedway, right? And you're like, you know, teaching one class every few weeks.
Right.
But when it was all said and done, I was certified and I was able to go back to teach. And the enemy did not have the last say in that story. And I just...
You know, I think that's the thing about bravery that I think people miss is that it doesn't feel always like the right thing.
No, and it's not pretty.
And it's not pretty. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of when I tried to get my first book published. It took 8 years.
And people hear that.
It took 8 years, lots of rejection. I took the risk, but it was so worth it.
Yeah.
And same with you.
Yeah.
So worth it.
So good to hear those stories. So we've got Frenchie. What a great name, Frenchie.
Maria,
Peggy, we're going to talk with you about your brave, your courage. You have courage in you. You've had to be brave before. We just want you to share it because it'll inspire someone else to be brave. And we've got a stack of books to give away. Lee Wolf Bloom's in studio with me. I'm Susie Larson. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. I have my friend Lee Wolf Bloom in studio with me. She was my first hour guest, and I've asked her to hang on with me, to co-host with me, because it's Talk to Me Thursday, which means you need to talk to me and talk to us. And the theme today, this hour, is courage. When you did something that just took some courage from you, and I love that we've got friends calling in, because I think your story will inspire another story. And I'm especially excited to talk to someone named Frenchie, aren't you?
Yes.
That's just, I mean, everybody needs a friend named Frenchie.
Yes.
Come on now.
We were just talking about it from Grease, the movie.
Grease Lightning.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, Frenchie, you're on the air.
Well, hey there.
Hey.
And I happen to be a beautician.
Wow. That's perfect. Well, you just made our day, and you sound like you live up to your name, so that's fantastic. So tell me about your courage and your bravery.
Okay, this is whenever I first started learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I was out camping with some friends. But it was, I woke up, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Everything was quiet. I thought, I'll have a cup of coffee, read my book. And the Holy Spirit started calling me to the river.
Mm.
So he had this conversation with me. And he told me, I had just finished renovating a house. And I was a single mom. And he told me to sell the house. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I told my friends about it who weren't Christians, and they just thought I was absolutely insane. I put it on the market, and this guy was supposed to come and look at the house. He showed up, but his realtor had some kind of emergency where he couldn't be there. And so I showed him around, and he bought the house, just like boom. I could not believe it. Hmm. So I was really scared that I just must be imagining things or hearing this wrong or whatever. But I went through with it and ended up purchasing another home. And it was big and huge for me being a single mom. And
huge step. And wow. Like and that. you trusted the Lord's voice, and it proved right.
Yeah.
I just think that's so brave. Frenchie, are you still a single mom, or are your kids grown up?
No, my kids have grown up, and I'm married.
So. Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Did you marry the guy that bought the house?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No.
Oh, tell us. This needs to be a movie. Okay, so I'm going to look. I've got Sheila Walsh's book, 5 Minutes of Quiet Time with God. That's the one we'll send to you. Is that okay?
Yes, that's great. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Frenchie, thanks for calling. We appreciate you. Oh, I love that. It's funny. That's the same thought that went through my mind. I'm like, tell me, you guys dated
you
and married.
Met the man of
yes,
your dreams.
Very good. So Maria's on from Brooklyn Center. Hey, Maria.
Hi.
Good to have you today. Hi. Tell us about your courage.
Well, 2 years and 9 months ago, after my husband passed away from being a crime victim, the home that we were living in, I ended up moving out because we just could not bear to live there anymore because of so many memories and stuff. So as I moved out and I started going to church and stuff and turning into a Christian, I felt like the Lord was calling me to open a home for women and children. Mm-hmm. Although at that time, with all these changes going through life, with my husband, I was still trying to finish college. So
wow.
I asked the Lord to let me finish, and then I would tend to what he wanted me to do. And after I did, between that time, I rented out the house. And after the renewal of the lease came along, they decided not to renew. And right after that, again, it came, you need to put the home up for women and children so it can be happy like it did before. And I partnered with a mission group, and they've been helping me since, and we started opening it in March, which at this time I've already had 2 ladies there.
Wow.
Living there.
Wow, Maria.
My setback is that I felt like I did more bad than good. Because now they're out of the home because of their own problems and situations.
Right. But you're setting the table.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're setting the stage for people to get well, and you can't control. As Lee was saying, first hour, you help, but you can't really control the outcomes. And Maria, the book I'm thinking about for you, I don't know if you read novels, but this is one of the best novels I'd ever read, Sensible Shoes, a story about the spiritual journey. And it's written by a spiritual director, and 4 women's lives are in this story. And one of them actually was grieving the loss of her spouse. And this was one of the most healing novels I think I've ever read. I just feel like you will love it if you can just curl up with this good book. And so this is one we'll send to you. And Lee, did you want to say anything to Maria?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I just hear your pain and that your intention is to help. And just remember that we can lead people to water, but we can't make them drink. And just continue to, like Susie said, continue to set the table and bring them to the water and, let them on their own terms. You just never know what encounter. I always feel like when we get to heaven, people are going to say, hey, I met you here and you did this. And
yes,
you
exactly.
gave me food when I was hungry. And sometimes we can't see that here on earth, but just trust that your intentions are good and just lead them to the water. You just never know who's going to take a drink. And thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're very inspiring and hopefully will inspire others to do the same.
Yes, you're brave. Thanks for that, Lee. That's fantastic. Maria, thanks for that call. Wow, the call screen is full, so hang with us as we take these calls one at a time. Be as patient as you can. Peggy's checking in from Freeman. Peggy, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you. Tell us about your brave or your courage.
I feel one of the most brave things I've done is my husband and I raised children, and they had some disabilities, and it was challenging at times. But we took them places and did things with them just like if they didn't have any disabilities. And I had to learn to not compare myself or my children to somebody else's children because God just took us on a different journey than them. And I believe that God gave us these children for a reason. And they're grown up now. They're in their 20s. They're young adults. And they're living on their own with some help. But they're doing well, and I'm very thankful for that. But at the time when they were younger, it took courage to do things with them because it was new to me and to my extended family to have somebody with a disability.
That's absolutely amazing. We're all sitting here thinking, now that's courage. And Peggy, I'm looking at my stack, and I don't have something that I'm going to go back to my Faith Radio closet and find you a book, so I can't tell you which one it is now. But Lee, did you want to say a word to Peggy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one of the things that struck me as I'm listening to these calls, Susie, is I think two of the most courageous things we can do in our society right now are, one, to choose life. You know, the verse, choose life so that you might live. And it sounds like, you know, amidst all the struggles of parenting these children, you continue to choose life, continue to choose to get up every day and trust the journey God had you on. And I think I want to encourage others that verse and just choosing life can be the hardest thing that we do, you know, and choosing to love the Lord in a culture right now that saying Christian is not always the best thing to say. So those two things, choosing to trust the Lord and choosing life, I just sounds like you did that. And people with kids with disabilities, I know, can hear that and feel encouraged.
Mm-hmm. And Peggy, too.
Lee can do it, too.
Amen. And Lee mentioned this a little bit earlier, but the reward in heaven, this is the kind of stuff that you're going to see a confetti ticker tape parade for, because this hidden service of these kinds of things, caring for a sick spouse, caring for aged parents, caring for disabled children, this is superhero status. It just is. And I just think, wait till you see the celebration waiting for you, Peggy. Good and faithful servant. So thank you, dear one. And I'm going to find you a great book, okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Deborah, checking in from Minnesota. Hey, Deborah, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey. Tell us about your brave, your courage.
Well, I 6 years ago, I became a single mom. Quite suddenly, my husband decided that he no longer wanted to be married to me and with our four kids.
Oh, wow.
And so I was a stay-at-home homeschooling mom at the time. So my life radically changed really fast. And so through the last 5 years, I have gone against the grain and against what everybody kept saying I had to do, and I stayed home with my kids because they needed me. And so thankfully God provided, and I trust him completely. But I think the bravest thing was to trust God.
Wow.
Just keep trusting him for the, you know, we got into subsidized housing, which was a huge blessing. And but my kids were struggling. I mean, my kids were really struggling. Everything changed so fast.
Well,
their lives
trauma.
Were completely uprooted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was extreme trauma. I was dealing with one child who was suicidal. Mm. I had, you know, starting at age 11. And then, you know, now she is so amazing, and she's leading children's ministry now.
Deborah.
And it's just so fun to see how they are doing. But to know that, trusting God, it's just to truly hand your... It wasn't easy, but to hand him over.
So, Lee, I'm thinking that they should make a movie about Deborah. Can you see this?
Yeah.
I mean, what woman whose husband abandons the family and she's got these kids decides to be a stay-at-home mom and makes a sacrifice so you can navigate them through this trial? How old are your kids grown now, or do you still have some young ones at home?
I do. They are 20 and 18 and 10 and 8.
Okay, so the book I've got, which is perfect for you, it's titled The Unseen Companion, God with a Single Mother, and it's just beautiful. I think you'll love it. So,
you know, and one thing I just want to... Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. I just want to encourage our listeners to... you know, if I saw you at the grocery store, even when you called, you've got this chipper voice, I would meet you and think, oh, she's got a great life. You know, and I think all these stories are just a reminder...
I am blessed.
Well, just a reminder that everyone's fighting a battle.
Yes.
And if we can just remember that about each other and offer each other a lot more grace and love. Mm. And so thank you for having the attunement to know that your children needed you.
Okay, this is what this is doing to me. Surprise, surprise. I mean, I didn't see this coming, but listening to these stories like Deborah's, again, I'm so eternally minded lately, just, you know, really became so when my sister's dear hubby, my dear brother-in-law passed this last year. It's made me think on eternity. And I think, you know, being with Jesus, being in the presence of God, being in the presence of the saints, and watching you, Deborah, be celebrated, watching Peggy be celebrated is going to be the delight of my life. I'm
no,
telling
me too.
You. So I just, my hat is off to you, Deborah. Thank you. And just for doing what you did. And the chipperness in your voice speaks to the joy in your heart. So God bless you, dear sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so Julie from Duluth, Anonymous, Dan, Joy, we've got to take a hard break. This is our last break, but I think if you guys can hang on, those will probably be all the calls that we can take. But we're talking, it's Talk to Me Thursday, about something courageous you did. And do you see how good for your soul it is to talk about this? This isn't bragging. This isn't prideful. This is celebrating, because Jesus says, be strong, be courageous, and tell about, because apart from God, we can't be strong and courageous. But when you tell about it, it inspires someone else. Hang on and hang in there. Lee Wolf Bloom is co-hosting with me today as we navigate through these calls. Everybody who gets on the air will get a book of some kind. Julie, Anonymous from Hopkins, Dan, Joy, you're up next. Hang with me. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. Isn't these just good songs today? Really glad you tuned in. It's Live the Promise. Talking to Lee Wolf Bloom as my co-host today. She was my first hour guest because it's Talk to Me Thursday. And the theme today is courage. And I just want to know when you've been courageous, because the Bible calls you to be, and your stories are inspiring other stories. So I've got Julie, Anonymous, Dan, and Joy. I'm praying you guys can hang on and want to hear your stories. Julie is on from Duluth. Hey, Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. I am calling with a story about courage, and it's a small courage story compared to some of these amazing women that I've just heard on the air. But I'm very shy, and I don't like public speaking, although in my heart I feel like I have a lot of good things to say. But I did a speech last year, a kind of a monologue that I worked on really hard at our church, because I really wanted to talk about the biography of one of the great Christian leaders of our time. And I practiced it, and my friends heard it, my family heard it, my husband heard it about 50 times. And I felt pretty good about it. And the day that I was going to give that speech, I felt good. I was just praying. I was like, Lord, help me to touch people. And as I said the speech, I was starting to feel more comfortable. My voice stopped shaking, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, I think this is going to work. And then I was talking about a part where I was talking about a city that this person was in, and for some stupid reason, I said the name of a city that is like a local little city, a hometown, instead of a biblical city, and everybody laughed.
Hmm.
It was a serious story, and everybody laughed. And in that moment, I was mortified, but then I thought, you know what is funny? What a dumb thing to say. And so I laughed too, and then I was able to continue on with the speech and get kind of that right feel back, and
brilliant.
It was fine. Everybody enjoyed it, but I just thought, oh my gosh, I didn't self-destruct. And they didn't, you know, stone me. So I think God is just teaching me that it's okay to make mistakes, and that if you feel that the Lord would like me to speak more, but I am so afraid of it.
Wow.
And that was really a good thing to fall on my face and then get up again and say, oh, just a little scratch, but I'm fine.
Amen, sister.
Yes.
I remember, Julie, a time when I came up on a stage in front of a few thousand women and my notebook broke open and I had 15 pages that spread all over this huge stage. and they're all waiting for me, and I had to go scoop them all up. And I get up in front of the mic, and I said, okay, well, one of my worst fears just happened, yeah. And I'm all right. I'm good. And you do survive, and to laugh at yourself is a good, you know.
And it
not,
makes you human.
It makes you human, yeah. But not in a demeaning way, but yeah. In a way that I'm confident. Julie, I pray God opens more and more doors for you, yes. To speak. I think that's fantastic. I'm looking at my stack, and I don't see one that fits what I think I want you to have. So I'll look, but we'll get you something, all right?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And that's not small C courage. No. That's huge mm-hmm. courage when you don't want to be a speaker and you get up there. And,
yes.
Yeah. And she laughs. I love it. Anonymous from Hopkins. Hey, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. I'm calling not because of my own bravery, but I really think it's from the Lord. I came from a family of origin of sexual and domestic violence on my parents. Against me, and only to marry into four different marriages that also was domestic violence and sexual abuse. And I just left my fourth marriage about 3 years ago, and I'm now the age of 70, without a vehicle, without a home, without job skills, and I'm finally feeling that the Lord is guiding and directing my life, and I still believe there's hope for me.
Bless
oh, absolutely.
You, dear one. Wow.
Yeah.
The book, I don't want, we need to get to our two other calls, so I want to make sure the book I'm going to send to you is Under a Desert Sky, Redefining Hope, Beauty, and Faith in the Hardest Places, and I think that will be a great blessing. May the Lord Jesus protect you, guide, and guard you. Wow. Dan, checking in from St. Paul. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for holding.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
I'll try to make this quick as possible. Back in 2001, I believe it was 2001 when 911 happened, I had wrote a song, or I'd wrote a poem, and it was called The Lady in the Harbor. Well, in 2002, my ex-wife made it her mission to set out to destroy my life.
Mm.
And she divorced me. She made all these allegations against me. In the process, she turned my daughters against me, and I spent 3.5 years and $25,000 cluttering my name of her allegations. But anyway, in 2008, I lost my idea. In 2008, my brother told me, you know, when the economy was really bad and people couldn't find jobs and whatever, but my brother told me, he says, yeah, Channel 45 is having a song contest. You should enter it. And in the meantime, I had turned my, you know, with my poem writing ability, I was writing my feelings out in poems to my kids and stuff. And I thought, you know what? I got to make a new life for me and my kids. And I got a hold of a demo studio in Nashville, and I sent them this song. And he says, whoa, he says, this poem is dying. He says, this is really good. And he put some fantastic music to it. Well, I sent that in, and I was at my job one day, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and I answer it, and they said, hi, this is so-and-so from Hubbard Broadcasting. And you entered your song contest? He says, you know, I still get emotional thinking about it. He says, you won the contest. It was a $5,000 contest. Yeah. And I got four VIP tickets. You know, right in front of, you know, some rows off from the stage, all I could eat and drink for free, the use of a 30-some-foot brand-new motorhome. And I went and told my boss, I said, I've got to have these days off. He said, no, you can't have them off. I said, what do you mean I can't have them off? I said, I told you I'm trying to make a life for my daughters. He said, no, so-and-so's got it off. You can't take it off. And it just stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, what am I supposed to do? I got to pay child support and everything. I went back to my job, and I remembered the Bible verse where it says, God says all good things come from God. And it's just like he was talking to me, he was haunting me. And he says, you know what? He says, I brought you through all this. You're going to trust me here.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to my boss. I says, I quit. I trust God. I said, see, he gave me this talent for a reason. So I went to the concert, and I thought it was going to be my big break. It never turned out to be my big break. And like some calls back, the guy that said that he got a job at Loveline, I went through some really hard times. I mean, I was doing everything I could do to pay my child support, and I was going to garage sales and selling stuff, and I never missed a child support payment. And to make a long story short, went to a garage sale one day and I seen a brass candlestick, and I thought, I used to scrap all my life, and I looked at this candlestick and I thought, God, I haven't did this in years. I wonder what this is worth. Well, back then, metal prices were so high, it was $2.10 a pound. I thought, I'm back into scrapping. Well, to make even a shorter story, now I started my own business. I've got 3 trucks. I deal with numerous companies and making more money than I ever made in my life.
Wow. And, Dan. Man, I'm going to jump because I want to make sure we get to Joy as our last call. But I love that story,
Dan. That's
great. And the book I want to get you is from Mark Batterson. It's titled Play the Man, Becoming the Man God Created You to Be.
Awesome.
But obviously, Dan, you're already in process as you're trusting God. And I pray he would continue to blow you away with his favor and with open doors. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that story. Wow.
If you could pray for me and my daughter's reunification.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going through hard times.
I'm going to do that right now. Father, I just pray that you'd reunite Dan with his girls. You can just hear the love of this father's heart. He has sacrificed so much, Lord God, to be in their life, to provide for them. And Lord, you said when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, even enemies are at peace with him. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would dispel every lie, every scheme, every agenda to bring division between Dan and his girls. We just cut those things off in Jesus' name, and we just speak peace. We speak unity. We speak reconciliation. And I pray you'd restore every single thing that enemy has stolen from this guy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you, buddy.
You.
You're going to love this book. Okay, Joy, we've just got a few minutes left, but Joy has been waiting, and so she's getting 2 books from us for that patient wait. Love you, Joy. What do you got for us today?
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes. So good to have you. Tell us about your brave.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I was in Africa, and I was doing a hike through a rainforest with a guide and some other people. And so we're going through the rainforest, and of course it's very, you know, we're surrounded by trees, and when the trees cleared, we've been walking for maybe about 20 minutes or so, when the trees cleared, I did not realize how high up we had hiked. And I was challenging a bunch of fears in my life at that time, and one of them was the fear of heights.
Mm.
And the trees cleared. All I could see was the crevice, and you couldn't even see the bottom of the rainforest. And I turned to the guide, and I said, is there another way out of here? And he said, we can go back, but it'll take about a half an hour. And the only way across the crevice of the rainforest was a footbridge made of bamboo and rope, like a hammock, but way above the air. And it was probably a little longer than a football field. And I called on God. I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is Jesus. Every scripture that came to mind, and only one person could be on this footbridge at a time. And it was windy, and it was rain.
My.
And it was crazy, but I did it.
You did it.
Go, girl.
Woo!
That is awesome.
Joy, see, that's amazing. And those things call something out of us. And is not a trivial story.
Mm-hmm.
That's something Jesus was with you, and he's used it, and now you can testify about it. And, Joy, I'm trying to think of the book. I'm not sure I'm going to find you one. I'll find you one that you will love. But thank you so much for the call. And, Lee, what a delight to have you in studio.
Thank you so
you
much.
Are such a treasure. I just absolutely love you. And thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm
thank
Susie
you for
Larson.
All the calls, too.
Oh, man. We love our listeners.
Yes.
Aren't they amazing?
They're awesome.
The stories are so great, and I sweat every Thursday going, is anybody going to call? And then we get these amazing stories. Well, as I said, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I just love you guys, and I can just see the look on Lee's face. She loves you, too. We appreciate you so much. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.